Well, good afternoon, everyone. Happy New Year to everyone. As we say in Espanol, Prospero Año Nuevo. We are welcoming you to another segment of El Paso Prime Time. I'm Richard Dayoub, President and CEO of the Greater El Paso Chamber of Commerce. And today I'm very fortunate to have with me as guests both Juan Sanchez. Juan, in a number of different roles that he plays in the community. Primary is his role as Director of Quality for Freeport MacMoran, which was the company, if you're not familiar with that name, that used to be known as Phelps Dodge. And then I have Tomas Sigala, and Tomas is our staff member at the Greater El Paso Chamber. He's a Director of Policy and Programs for Education Workforce Development. And Juan, in his other role, his more important role to us at the Chamber right now, he serves as a SERF for a number of years on our Education Committee and co-chairs this coming year with Anthony Tomaszewski from the El Paso Independent School District as co-chairs of our Education and Workforce Development Division. And we're here to, no pun intended, educate and inform our listening audience about a particularly important aspect of education and education opportunities in our community, and that is FAFSA. So the first thing I'm going to do is have you, Juan, take over and tell us what FAFSA stands for and why it's so important to our community.
Absolutely. Thanks, Richard. You know, one of the things that I think people don't realize is what does FAFSA really stand for? And we kind of throw that term kind of loosely and assume people know what that means, but it really means it's a free application for federal student aid, which in turn means it's free money to go to college. And of course, as we all know, college education is one of the most important things that a person can do for their own benefit and social mobility.
Well, thank you. And I think the emphasis of the word free is so important. It's also important to note, because I learned this myself firsthand, and quite by accident, this is not for just those students or those families of students who happen to be in a particular economic demographic and that need financial help. It's for all students who wish to go to college.
That's correct. And that's a general misconception as well, misperception. It's really the FAFSA application is used not only for grants, but it's also used for scholarships, student loans, federal student loans. So it's really important that everybody apply just to get an idea of what type of financial aid, whether it's a free, like I said, a grant, or a certain type of loan.
Right. And, of course, the opportunities for scholarships really become more available, if I'm not mistaken, once a student has submitted their FAFSA application.
Absolutely.
Right? They become more eligible. Well, thank you for providing that clarification. So we've been doing this, the Greater Chamber, in partnership with the El Paso Community College, the University of Texas El Paso through the Collaborative for Academic Excellence, and all of the school districts in the area. So give us an idea of just the magnitude of this initiative and when it will be conducted this year.
Well, it's actually a pretty large initiative. We work, as you mentioned, with all these different groups, and we actually have monthly meetings starting beginning of the year, throughout the entire year leading up to our big event, which happens in February, the whole entire month of February. And we have a great committee where we look at the numbers. We try to figure out which areas we want to target. And really, the biggest event that we have is we go to each and every single high school within Region 19. And we provide assistance to not only the students, but to the parents in completing the FAFSA application. It can be a little intimidating. It's a long form. It's the official form that people use to get the student aid. And so we're there to help them out and guide them and answer any questions as they go through the application.
So when you say that we, tell us who we are. Give me an idea of how many volunteers you have throughout the month helping out to do this.
We have, quite a large number of volunteers, and it could be volunteers are composed mostly of our education partners, UTEP, EPCC, Kaplan College, some of the other local colleges, and their financial aid personnel. And so they, along with community volunteers that are trained, go to the different high schools at different times. And the schedule is actually posted on a website. We'll go to each of the high schools and literally sit next to the student and the parent and help them go through the application steps, answer questions, and then make sure that the application is done correctly.
Great. And I think we'd be remiss if we didn't mention that there are a number of business people in the community, companies who've committed themselves individually, as well as a number of their volunteer employees to help out with this effort. Companies like ADP, as an example, who have been historically involved. Would you care to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, we actually have several corporate sponsors. Some of our larger sponsors, platinum sponsors, are, as you mentioned, ADP. El Paso Electric is a very big sponsor of ours, and we appreciate all their support. El Paso Times as well as some of the other local, some other businesses that contribute not only time, but also resources and volunteers that will come in and help us out during the events.
Okay. And the importance of this effort by the corporate investment, the corporate both dollar investment and manpower investment, are critical for several reasons. Would you care to articulate a little bit?
Definitely. One of the biggest benefits to that the company see in making this investment is that it's actually they're looking to the future. Any investment they make in the students that are coming out and getting a college education means they'll be better prepared and they'll be better employees for them down the road. We all know that a college education really leads to a better career down the line. And studies have shown that actually a college degree pretty much equates to about $1 million more in lifetime earnings versus somebody that doesn't have a college degree. So it's very critical. And these businesses recognize that impact, and so their resources and dedication of time and money really drives that.
Yeah, and I think you touched on a very important point. But just to communicate this even more clearly to the audience, listening audience, they're really investing in themselves because they can only succeed in any community if they have a trained and educated workforce. So by investing now to help these students get their education, they're really investing in the opportunity to recruit these individuals down the road to become their future leaders of their organizations. You mentioned a couple of companies. I'd be remiss if we didn't touch on a few others as well. Wells Fargo, GECU, Coca-Cola, Texas Gas are also invested in this program. And go ahead.
I was going to say that, and you're absolutely right. They're looking at future, right? It's not just a short-term goal, but they're actually looking at future goals and recruitment of these future employees as well-trained and educated people.
And from our perspective, from the Chamber's perspective, in terms of having the support of the corporate community is essential for us for several reasons, not the least of which is we have a limited staff. We only have Tomas plus a staff member who provides assistance on staff to be able to do the work that we do and our volunteer corps. And without having these companies commit their time and the time of their staffs to participate, go through the training so they can be ready to help the families enroll in the FAFSA program, we simply couldn't do this program at all. And to underscore that, there is an element, a financial element, as there always is, that's involved with these sponsors. And it's important for the students to know this because we began doing this 2 years ago, what I'm about to say, which is providing opportunities through basically a blind drawing that you're only eligible to participate in if you have successfully completed your FAFSA application. And at the end of that period of time, then we convene. Last year we did it at the Region 19 Service Center offices, where we hosted a little reception and gave out 10 $1,000 scholarships to students who became eligible, as I said, simply because they actively participated and successfully completed their application process. So that's a pretty nice thing for a student to receive just because they went to the trouble and made a commitment and recognized how important their education, their future education is.
Absolutely. You know, they got a double benefit, if you will, right? They applied for free financial aid, so hopefully they'll get some grants, some student loans, plus on top of that, $1,000 scholarship. That's great.
So, you know, there's always this conversation that goes on in almost every segment of our community on any kind of issue you can think about. And there are individuals out there who are the great cheerleaders of our community and say nothing but great things about us. And then there occasionally are folks out there who maybe look at the glass half empty from that perspective. So let's touch a little bit about where El Paso was as it relates to FAFSA and where we are today, and then why, if you would please.
Well, I think, you know, the El Paso region has a large need for students to apply for free financial aid. And the community has always, especially the education committee, has been very active in trying to recruit these students to apply for financial aid. And unfortunately, our numbers were not very high several years ago. I'm very happy to report that we are actually leading the state in financial aid applications. We're number one at 55.4%, above the Rio Grande Valley, San Antonio, Lubbock, Mount Pleasant, and even Austin, by quite a large margin as well. Austin, you know, pretty large metroplex, are at 49%. El Paso's at 55%. So we're very happy. We're actually very thrilled that we're leading the state. It's great. It's a great feeling to know we're number one. But the committee, the education committee that hosts and drives this progress, this initiative, is actually very committed and not happy with only 55%. We want to get a larger percentage.
Well, in the, I guess now 5 years that we the chamber and our education committee and volunteers like yourself have been involved, we really have seen thankfully, a progression, a steady growth in our completion rate. Yes. Year over year over year. As you said, we went from the bottom, actually.
Definitely.
We were being kind. We were at the very bottom of all the major metro cities. And the very first year we completed the program and participated as our volunteer group from education, we went to number one. And then each year after, we've exceeded our prior year's performance. So we want to make sure that in 2016, we continue that trend, right?
Definitely.
So why don't you share with our audience a little bit about the particulars relative to when the program will be run, for how long it'll be run?
Well, as I mentioned, we're going to each and every single high school within Region 19. The program actually starts in February. We're going to all the high schools. Typically, we'll do 3 or 4 high schools per week, starting on February 1st and ending on February 29th. And each of those high schools will have personnel, financial aid people, as well as volunteers, as I mentioned, typically held in a computer lab so that the application can be done right there and then. And the benefit of doing that there, too, is that we'll actually get a result, initial results. And so the student and the parents walk away knowing pretty much a pretty good idea of how much financial aid they're going to get for the year.
Well, that's outstanding. So they know before they even leave the room if they're going to get something, right, and if so, what that might be. Absent scholarships in particular.
Yeah, this is concerning grants and student loans.
Student loans. That's great. So for the listening audience, traditionally, this may vary slightly by school, the program runs, as Juan said, from the very 1st of February through 29th of February, and he was correct about that. 2016 is a leap year. We haven't had one of those, of course, in 4 years. From 4:30 in the afternoon till 7 o'clock in the evening, each school day. But to get particulars, to get details, or to find out what particular time the school where you feel it's most convenient to go with your student, or if you're a student listening, with your parents, because you both have to be present, correct? The student can't show up individually, nor can the parent. Both the parent and the student have to be present.
That's correct. They need to digitally sign the application. So the student has their student username and password, and the parent has to have a username and password that they use to sign the application.
And there's another advantage. Would you care to tell us about that advantage for these folks who are listening and are interested in coming out?
Well, one of the other things that we're doing along with this initiative is trying to provide some assistance on preparing income taxes. The income taxes are actually needed to complete the FAFSA application. We need to know how much money was made in the previous year. And for certain families that have a certain threshold of income, the tax preparation is actually free. We're partnering with several organizations, the Coalition of Family Economic Progress, to help us help the families complete the taxes and have them ready for the FAFSA nights. The limit for the free application, or the income limit, I should say, is $54,000. So if you have an income of less than $54,000, you're eligible to have your taxes done for free. And that's actually a great benefit. I know some people pay large amounts of money to get their taxes done. They don't need to. It's a free service that we're trying to also inform people about. Get them done, and then come to the FAFSA nights and complete your FAFSA application.
Yeah, so for clarification, the $54,000 cap is for you to be eligible to get free assistance in completing your tax return. But you can be making virtually any amount of money above that and still be eligible for the FAFSA program to submit for your student.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of variables that really determine how much you're eligible for in times of financial aid. Family situation, number of kids that are in college, income, retirement accounts. I mean, it's all sorts of different variables. So I would not take into consideration how much a person is making and make that a deciding factor whether or not to apply. I think everybody needs to apply.
Mm. I think it's great, and I can attest to that because I do make more than that amount, but I've had to explain to my children, I work for a nonprofit, and I do need assistance. So if they'll help me out by simply completing the FAFSA application, they're doing me a favor, even if we don't get any financial aid. If you don't ask, you don't get, for sure. So if you want to get something, you have to file. If your expectation is you won't get any, well, the best way to make that happen is simply not to bother filing at all. And by the way, since we're talking about filing applications for FAFSA, but in addition to get assistance, free assistance in your tax returns, we want all of our accounting firms out there to know we're not trying to put you out of business. This is not for your traditional clientele. This is really for those individuals in the community who perhaps – in most cases, do not use an accounting service as it is right. on their own to file their tax returns. And those are usually the same folks. I'm not trying to categorize anybody that on April 15th at the stroke of, say, 11 p.m. are scrambling to get their tax returns filed and get to the post office to get them postmarked. So these are the individuals that we think this is a great sort of an additional benefit for them to gain from this entire process. So are there some other things that you'd like to touch on, either you or Tomas, with regard to the FAFSA program that our listening audience ought to know?
Well, one thing that I would like to point out would be for those individuals that would like to volunteer, if they go to our website, elpaso.org/FAFSA nights, there is a online volunteer sign up that they could do. And we are having three training sessions for those individuals interested in helping students and parents fill out their financial aid. The training days are January 26th, 27th, 28th, and they're held primarily on the West Side, Central, and in the Lower Valley. So again, more information can be found at our website, elpaso.org/FAFSA nights.
Actually, if I could say something real quick, too, on that same website, there's actually even more general financial aid information that people can go to and just look up and become a little bit more knowledgeable on the financial aid process.
Great. Thank you. Any other closing comments related to the FAFSA program before we go to visit a little bit about Adventure for Your Future?
You know, the thing that I noticed from this year is the support, the outstanding support that we've had from each of the individual school districts involved, and the tremendous hard work that the high school counselors, teachers, and administrators put in making sure that these seniors realize that financial aid is an expectation, and the hard work that goes in making sure that El Paso has reached really the number one spot is really attributed to not just our sponsors, but also to the hard work of our teachers and tremendous support from our counseling staff and individual school districts who really put higher education as a priority.
That's great. Thank you. So let's connect the dots in closing this particular portion of our program. The statewide, the average sort of number that most statisticians use to look at in terms of start and completion time from the day you enter as a freshman in college to the day you graduate is about 6 years. Is that right?
That's correct.
And so this program really helps to facilitate not only the completion of your education, but also to expedite, to facilitate an expedited process of graduating in less than 6 years. Ideally, it's most parents, at least, I'm speaking for myself, would like to see our students at least graduate with their bachelor's in 4 years. Sometimes that's realistic. Sometimes, depending on the student, maybe more unrealistic than realistic, and we go to 5 years. And, of course, God help you if they decide to change their major midstream as well. But all things being leveled out equally, if a student has some assistance for through FAFSA program, the likelihood that they'll finish in 4 years or 5 years, less than 6 years, increases dramatically. And one of the reasons it does is that, if I'm not mistaken, it enables that student to maybe need to work less. And I don't mean work at school. I mean work at a job, so that they're taken out of school less and they can devote more energy and carry more credit hours each semester. Is that correct?
That's absolutely correct. It really takes the stress off the student and having to worry about that. And you can concentrate on the studies.
Thank you. So we have one more subject to cover that's somewhat related, and that is known as Adventure for Your Future. Tomas, why don't you tell us a little bit about the program and what we're doing and who we're partnering with?
Sure. At this time, the Adventure for Your Future program is aimed – it started really from a collaboration – at the chamber, the healthcare committee, and they decided to really focus on middle school students and parents and informing them of the importance of looking into the health science profession because of the great need and the future need of that profession here in the state and locally in the city. And what we've done is we've partnered with the Paul L. Foster Medical School along with Chamber and various other corporate sponsors like UMC, the Hospitals of Providence, to provide opportunities and workshops for middle school students and parents to be informed of the various professions involved within the health science fair field. This event takes place January 30th, 2016, so it's in a couple of weeks. And if you are interested as a parent, you have a middle school student, and you're interested in attending, we encourage you to go to our website. Again, it's found at elpaso.org and register there, or you could contact any of the middle school counselors. They do have our information for Adventure for Your Future to sign up. And this program really opens up the doors for discussions to take place at the household so that correct decisions could be made once students enroll in high school.
Right. And to underscore this, what we're really trying to accomplish with the parents as well as the students, many of these children who come from disadvantaged households. And to get the parents and the students to realize that irrespective of their economic situation, their children can go on to medical school, can become professional medical providers, whether that's a nurse, a pharmacist, a physician, a subspecialist, a specialist, and they get a chance to meet physicians in El Paso who began like they did, some of them who've come from disadvantaged households and have now become physicians. and to show them, yes, in fact, if you dream it, you can make it happen. So we are, I see the indication from Dennis that we're running a little bit low on time, so we'll be winding this down momentarily. But we want to emphasize again, that's a week from today, January the 30th, that's a Saturday. It's at Texas Tech University Health Science Center, the Paul L. Foster School of Medicine. Last year I was there, as I go each year, and we had the good fortune of having Mayor Oscar Leeser, who did some opening remarks. This year we're hoping also to have Dr. Richard Lang, who is the dean of the College of Medicine, to be there and do some opening remarks to our guests and to express the views that we're sharing with you today to the parents and the students there of how important these opportunities are for them and to believe in themselves and also to know that there is a safety net in the community of many committed individuals who want these kids to succeed and want them to grow in their professions, and that they will help them by finding opportunities to go on to college, get their graduate degrees and their pre-med programs, and then go on to residency. Of course, hopefully we'll get them to do their residency here at the medical school, and then we'll be able to retain them, because as many in the audience listening know, it's not new news to you, there are far fewer doctors and healthcare professionals in our community than we need. We have a great need, and we are far underserved. So with that, I'll close those comments and thank you both, Juan and Tomas, for being on the show with us today. I want to thank our listening audience for participating with us. You are listening to El Paso Primetime, and we wish you a very, very happy, prosperous, and healthy New Year. Thank you.